Bix, before we go to Darren Bird, just wanted to quickly go through the Australian Boomers. They have announced the squad for the Paris Olympics. So some names that stand out. DJ Vasiljevic is in the squad,
which is
wonderful. Jack McVay, who confirmed we're going to speak to him over the next couple of weeks. Jack McVay, who was a grand final MVP. Matthew Dellavedova is in the squad, which is wonderful because he wasn't part of the last international campaign that they had in the FIBA World Cup. Mm-hmm. So he's in there. The usual suspects, Joe Ingles, Patty Mills, Josh Giddey. No Ben Simmons.
Why not?
Well, he's injured at the moment, but that's the common thread of Ben Simmons. So he won't be part of that. Out of the NBL, Chris Golding, Sam Frolling, Rocco Zakarski, Will Magnay, Will McDowell-White, Jack McVay, Keanu Pinder, DJ Vasiljevic, and Deli. So that is wonderful. Speaking of basketball, I actually got my basketball fix at a local gym in Port Adelaide run by Sean Baker and his wife, Jamie. And they have expanded, and it's going to bring new life to the western suburbs. And Peak Performance announced during the week that they have some significant upgrades happening with the new facility and some significant names joining, which is wonderful, not just for the people of the western suburbs, but for South Australia as a whole. And one of those people involved from the Adelaide Football Club is Darren Burgess. Burjo, good morning to you. Congratulations. I'm so excited for yourself, for Greg, for Sean, but most importantly, for the western suburbs.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We're really pumped to be involved in a place like Peak and with some great people like Sean and Jamie.
How did it all come about, Burjo? How did you start learning about it? I know Sean's had an involvement with the Crows in their AFLW program and the Adelaide Lightning, but how did this relationship start to begin?
Well, I guess it was a bit serendipitous, really. I had no plans to be involved in a gym or to do anything of this nature. But I'd been involved with Sean a little bit through an internship with Port Adelaide. And then I went away for sort of 10 years or so, and Sean reached out to me and just said, look, can you come down and meet the people and help with some of our younger coaches and hold a few sessions down there? And then as I got to know Sean and Jamie and the type of operations they run, over the last sort of 3 years, I just thought this is a great facility serving a great purpose. So as you said, the people of Western Suburbs, but also Greater Adelaide. And Greg Stafford and I are childhood friends, and he's obviously well known in the AFL community. We had actually been offered a few other opportunities in similar ventures, gyms and recovery centres, but we thought, let's join forces with Sean and Jamie and what they're doing at Peak, because we believe in how they go about it.
Well, it is exciting for all the people that feel like they want to get a much more in-depth experience. You know, the knowledge you bring and are able to share with the coaches and trainers down at Peak, I guess, then filters down to the weekend warriors who get access to the same know-how of what the AFL stars are getting.
Yeah, you hope so, Dix. That's exactly the plan, is that, you know, hopefully we can bring some sort of professional training standards and tips and tricks and recovery and to help those who are not yet at the professional level or like me, will never be good enough to play at the professional level. But they can get some tips from people who've been lucky enough to work at that level for a while. So that's the plan. You know, I've been involved in a bunch of sports and both, you know, full-time and consulting, and so hopefully I can help out. There's a range of athletes that are down there at Peak, and obviously myself and Greg are going to be very much in the background. Jamie and Sean and the great trainers there are the ones that do all the hard work, but hopefully we can help them along the way for sure.
Well, let's talk about Adelaide and the predicament they find themselves in. So they haven't had a win so far in the first four rounds, and I think most people are a bit flat because the expectations were pretty high. Talk to us about the mindset of the players. I'm guessing they can't afford to be flat. They've got to be up, and they're continuing, I'm guessing, to be working really hard on making those improvements they need to do.
Yeah, I think you've probably heard it said by a few people, but it's never as bad as you think. It's never as good as you think when you're 4-0 versus 0-4. So one thing that we pride ourselves on is sticking to the process and going through and reviewing each game really, really thoroughly, and then identifying areas that we can improve. We certainly think the game against the D's was a was a step in the right direction. There was a little bit more of the Crows' identity in that game. We just weren't quite good enough to get it over the line. So, yeah, the mindset is still really positive, albeit, you know, working hard.
Darren, we watch the broadcast and we go to games, and I see you often talking with Matthew Nix and you know, putting your heads together. I've heard him say you're a bit of a sounding board to him as well. What are some of those discussions that, that you have during the game and during the breaks?
Yeah, it's with Matthew down on the sideline, obviously you have a little bit more access to him and he has a bit more access to me. So it's my job on game day is looking after the rotation. So, you know, putting players on and off, either based on fatigue or where the coaches want them. So we're just discussing, okay, what can we do next to try and, you know, either create some more opportunities or stop some of the opportunities coming to the opposition. Discussing different, one of my jobs is to maybe bring to light some of the things that were discussed during the week, you know, I mean, all the coaching meetings and opposition meetings. So sometimes in the heat of battle, they get lost a little bit. So I might bring up those sorts of things. So nothing too intricate, more about the rotations and position of players.
Mm. It's interesting because we see it different times, and we saw it happen last weekend where the play gets on the outer side and, you know, you've got players on the bench who are desperate to come on, and sometimes they can be delayed by 3 or 4 minutes. What does that do to your rotational schedule that you have, and how do you adjust for that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because you're right. That's exactly what can happen. Our rotations, at least in the clubs that I've worked at, are based on a couple of things. One is our knowledge of the player's fitness level. So, you know, some players who can run all day, like a Chase Jones, will be on longer than other players who might not be able to. But also the flow of the game. It's very rare that if you know, Isaac Rankin kicks 2 goals, that even if he's due for a rotation, we're not going to take him off because obviously he's feeling pretty good. But certainly if the play is over the far side, then what my job is then is to calm the guys down on who are trying to get on, and obviously look for opportunities to get them on, because that can be frustrating for everyone.
The Crows play at Marvel Stadium this weekend. What are the intricacies of that? Is the game actually quicker? Do you get any data that suggests the players move a bit faster? And the flip side as well is, after the game, is it harder to recover? Is the ground a bit tougher over there? What are the nuances with Marvel Stadium?
It's a little bit of a myth, Bix, that people run faster at Marvel Stadium. The players still run the same
speed.
But what does happen is the ball travels a bit further. So, certainly, as opposed to sort of the middle of July when we're playing at, I don't know, Ballarat or even at the MCG, the ball certainly, players can kick the ball further. So it tends to be a little bit more distance and sprint covered during the game, but at the same speed. But it's mainly about the ball.
Berjo, before we let you go, I've had a look at the plans of Peak and the facility which is going to be made, and I'm so excited for Sean, Jamie, yourself and Greg. I do have a question to ask you, though. Sean encourages me to get into the contrast bath. So there's one really warm one and there's one ice cold one. And I think he's lying, because I can't get in that ice cold bath for more than a minute before, well, I go through physical pain. Is it actually good for you, or is this some sort of stitch up?
On this occasion, Sean's correct. It isn't a stitch up. I'm sure he's got plenty of other tricks up his sleeve, but no, Jared, I could not recommend the cold plunges more highly, both for recovery and also for as part of your daily routine. So I expect to see you in there for more than a minute.
No one wants to see me in there with just my bathers on. Mate, congratulations. I'm so excited, Berjo. We know the fantastic resume you have in international sport and the person that you are. And it's wonderful to have you back in Adelaide. You've been here for a few years now, but to do what you're doing and really put back into the community here in Adelaide is only going to mean good things. So good luck for your team this weekend, but also for yourself, for Greg, for Sean and Jamie and Peak. And we appreciate your time on SEN.
Appreciate the kind words.